used to use a lot more PowerPoint before we moved over here, and I like doing PowerPoint, and so I think I'm going to divide it up a little bit. Also, there's such a beautiful wall behind us, I hate to cover it up with a screen all the time. Would you turn in your Bibles to the book of Luke, please? Luke chapter 12. Luke chapter 12, we'll begin reading with verse 16. And as you're turning there, let me relate a story that I heard a while back about a man who was known, especially by his family, for his extreme absent-mindedness. The only good thing about this was that he was a college professor, because everybody expects professors to be a little bit absent-minded. Hopefully there's no professors here this morning. Well, you know, you heard of the absent-minded professor, right? And so who was this man in the Bible? We'll talk about a little bit. He is forgetful as well. But this college professor really fit the bill. He was very forgetful. He regularly forgot his socks or his keys or his wallet or where he was going. He forgot important engagements. In fact, if it weren't for the patience of his loving wife, he certainly would have been fired a long time ago for the problems that arose because of his weak memory. One morning when he came down to the breakfast table, his wife said, "Now, dear, don't forget, today is moving day. While you are at work, the movers will come and move us to our new home a few blocks from here." He reassured her that she had nothing to fear. I mean, how could he forget this special day? They had talked about it. They had planned for it for months. But knowing her husband's nature, she said once more, "Now, dear, please don't forget. Today is moving day. So remember, don't come to this house after work. Just go to our new home." Well, he vowed that he wouldn't forget, and taking his lunchbox and briefcase in hand, he headed off to work. To help him remember, his wife put post-it notes in his briefcase and his lunchbox. She called him in the afternoon to remind him once again that today was moving day and that he was to go to their new home after his last class. But after all these efforts, they were in vain. Because true to form, when he left the campus around 5 o'clock that evening, he absentmindedly drove right to his old house. He put his key in the lock and entered and saw that everything was gone. Furniture, curtains, clothes, everything. At first he panicked. He thought his family had abandoned him for some reason, or there had been some sort of robbery that had taken place. But after about 10 minutes of wandering around the house, wondering what had happened, he suddenly remembered. This was moving day. His family hadn't left him. There had been no alien abduction. But no matter how hard he tried, he couldn't remember where they'd moved to. He couldn't recall where his new home was. So he ran outside and he saw a little boy riding on his bicycle down the road in front of his house. He flagged him down and said, "Hey, kid, do you know the family that used to live here? Do you know where they moved to?" The little boy got a disgusted look on his face and said, "Aw, Dad, Mom said you would forget." Now, I think we can all relate to this story because all of us have those moments when we forget, don't we? The older you get, the more frequent those moments become. We forget things like keys, purses or wallets, appointments. And I bring this up today because we're going to look at a parable Jesus told about a farmer who had a memory deficiency. And what we've done in the last several weeks is really we've looked at some things in the Bible that God wants us to remember. We tend to forget some of the more important things in life, and so God has placed certain things in His Word that He wants us to remember. And we started it off by saying that we need to remember our Savior. We need to remember Jesus Christ, who came and gave His life on the cross of Calvary so that we might be saved and have forgiveness of sins and eternal life in His presence. And by the way, what a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see. When we see our Savior for the first time face to face and are reunited with all those who have gone before us, all those loved ones that are there waiting for us to come home. What a day that will be. And Jesus is looking forward to that day as well. But we looked at our Savior and we see that we are to remember Him in the communion service. That's the reason why we have communion. Jesus said, "This do in remembrance of me." And so we must never forget our Savior, and why He saved us and how He saved us and what He saved us from. And then we had a message where we talked mainly to the young people about remembering now thy Creator. Young people, when are you to remember your Creator? In the days of what? In the days of your youth. And the reason we are to remember Him in the days of our youth is because time goes a lot faster than we realize. Life goes by very, very quickly. And then we spent a few weeks remembering God, and God said that we are to remember Him by honoring His commandments. You remember what we called them? We called them the tender commandments. And today we want to look at another parable, and there are a lot of other verses and a lot of other stories that we could look at about remembering things. But as I thought about it, I thought it really narrowed down to we should remember our Savior, we should remember our Creator, we should remember our God, and we should remember each other. We are to remember others. So would you look with me in the Bible in Luke chapter 12? We'll begin reading with verse 16. And we'll find a story here about a man who remembered the wrong things and forgot the right ones. Remembered the wrong things and forgot the right ones. Luke chapter 12, beginning with verse 16. And Jesus spake a parable unto them, saying, "The ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentiful. And he thought within himself, saying, What shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits. And he said, This will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, Soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then who shall these things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasures for himself and is not rich toward God." Let's pray. Father, we ask for your insight into this parable today. So we know, Lord Jesus, that you are the great teacher. And you told these stories, but you told these stories for a reason, to reveal a central truth. And so today, Lord, as we look at this story, we pray that you would open our eyes, that you would reveal the truth to us this morning. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. I want us to look at this story because I want us to learn from this farmer's mistakes and not from our own mistakes. And so if we look at this, we've just got a couple of key points to the message. We want to look at those things that he forgot and the things that he remembered. We're going to look at the things that he remembered, first of all. He remembered, first of all, himself. Six times in these verses, he used the word I. Four more times in these verses, he used the word my. You see, he was focusing on himself. He was focusing on his own self-indulgence. In fact, to him, having things was just a way of indulging himself in the things that he wanted. It's been said that Jesus came into this world to teach us. One of the reasons is to teach us and to help us banish the words I and my from our vocabulary, to substitute other words in his place. You think about this. When Jesus taught the disciples how to pray in the Lord's Prayer, he didn't use any of those singular pronouns. He said, when you pray, say, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. See, the thing about the Christian life is that the Christian life is not meant to be lived individually. It's not meant to be lived alone. And we need to realize that as we live the Christian life, that there is more to it than just satisfying ourselves, indulging ourselves. There are other people that we need to consider. There are other Christians that we are linked to and we have a responsibility to. I read about some ancient monks in the Egyptian desert who had a very wise custom. Their rule was that no monk could ever say, my book, my pen, my room, or use any of those words that were just related to themselves. And it was regarded as a crime, and they were disciplined if they used those words. You know how difficult this is? We have done this a couple of times. We have made it a rule in our house that we were not allowed to say the word I or my for an entire day. I'll tell you, it is extremely difficult. And I would challenge you, try it today. Now, it becomes really hard when you're around a bunch of people who ask questions about you. You know, I'll have a hard time today when people ask me how my vacation was. I've already said I and my a lot. But, you know, you can substitute and say, well, my family or we. And so I would encourage you and I would challenge you in this area. Just try to go by one day, pick a day and say, I'm going to try not to say the word I or me at all today. I'm not going to focus on myself. I'm going to try to focus on others. One teacher asked a little boy what part of speech my and mine was. He said, well, I think they're aggressive pronouns. You know, he wasn't too far from the truth, because when we just begin to think and focus on ourselves, we become very aggressive in attaining that which we want. The second thing that this farmer remembered was this temporary world. He remembered himself, and he remembered the temporary world in which he lived. He was so preoccupied with the things of this world that he forgot that there was another world, that there is an eternal world. Someone has wisely said, the world is a bridge. The wise man will pass over it, but will not build his house upon it. In other words, this life is a bridge to eternal life. And the things that take place in this life are nothing to be compared to the glory that we have in heaven. And so we use our time here in this world, in this life, to store up, as Jesus said, treasures in heaven, where moth and rust does not corrupt and where thieves cannot break through and steal. We can store up eternal treasure that can never, ever be taken away from us. Wouldn't you rather have something that will last for all eternity than something that will just last for a few years? And, you know, and even if you think about it, this life is quickly done away with. Even if we live to be 100 years old, what is 100 years compared to all of eternity? James says, your life is like a vapor. It's here one minute, it's gone the next. And so the lesson for us is that we need not focus on this temporal world. We need to use the things of this temporal world to focus on eternal things. The Biltmore Estate near Asheville, North Carolina, I'm told, I've not been there, the huge, beautiful estate. I did happen to see this estate in a movie, and maybe you have too. Have you ever seen Richie Rich? Anybody ever seen Richie Rich? That was filmed in this big, huge estate. It was the first estate to have an indoor pool and a bowling alley. There are gigantic, priceless tapestries, hangings of paintings everywhere. Unbelievable luxury. It has an unbelievable bathtub in the master bedroom. It's a pretty big tub, but the thing about it is not the fact, but the size, but the fact that Vanderbilt had it fitted with a movable mirror so that while bathing, he could always see out the window and enjoy the breathtaking beauty of the surrounding mountains. Someone described this place and the things in it and said, these are the things that make it difficult to die. You see, we don't want to leave these things behind. And so it makes dying difficult. You know, I get concerned once in a while that as Christians, that there are things in this world that are so appealing that they make it difficult to die to ourselves and to live the Christian life the way Jesus wants us to live it. Tolstoy once told the story of a Russian peasant who was told that he could have all the land he could walk around in the time between sunup and sundown. So with the rising of the sun, this peasant began walking as fast as he could. By mid-morning, it seemed that he was moving too slowly, so he increased his pace and didn't even stop for lunch. As the afternoon heat beat on him, he hurried his pace even more. He felt that he simply must circle more and more land. By late afternoon, he was soaked with sweat from head to toe. He was exhausted. He had walked around a huge section, but still he yearned for more. So he began to run. Breathlessly, he pushed himself into a fatigue he had never known. His heart beat wildly. Then sundown was only a few minutes away, so he ran faster. But as he raced toward his point of beginning, a point that would make him the largest landowner in the district, he fell to the ground dead. It reminds me of the Proverbs that says that there are people who sacrifice their health to get wealth, but then they sacrifice their wealth to get their health back. We don't want to serve our things. We want our things to serve us. Because it's true, what we own soon owns us. And that's why if you look at the key people in the Bible, God allowed people like Joseph to not own anything, but to be steward over everything. Just think, he was steward over the whole house, the treasuries of Egypt. The riches won't help on Judgment Day. This man found that out the hard way. Only righteousness will count. And we will all stand before God and we will all give an account of the things that we have done in this life, in this body, whether it be good or whether it is bad. And I want to live in such a way that I might have to sacrifice some things now, but I won't be ashamed when I stand before God of how I served him. So he remembered the wrong things, this farmer. He forgot the right things. What did he forget? First of all, he forgot his neighbors. With all his abundance, he didn't have room to store all of his crops. He had a surplus. But you know, there were probably those around him who had need, who lacked. But there's not one single word in this story about him helping anybody else. He felt no obligation to better his community, his fellow man. He only lived to serve himself. Secondly, he forgot the real source of joy in life. He forgot the real source of joy. You know, the real source of joy is not in gathering, heaping up riches to ourselves. The real source of joy is not in getting. The real source of joy is in giving. It is better to give than to receive. There's an old saying that says, those who bring sunshine into the lives of others cannot keep it from their own lives. Those who bring sunshine in the lives of others cannot help but have sunshine in their own lives as well. Giving and joy, they're like a package deal. They go together. God has planned for them to work together. Solomon, in all of his vast wisdom, you know, at the end of his life, he looked at it, he said, all this that I have gained in the way of material possessions, all of it is vanity. That's all vanity. So when he evaluated his life, he said, you know, that all of that I've tried to do in gaining this was just like striving after the wind. Can you ever catch the wind? You can't, can you? The wind just keeps on moving. You cannot grasp it. And if we try to grasp the joy of this life through worldly means, it'll be so elusive that we cannot gain it. And so the real joy is in giving, not getting. The third thing this farmer forgot was time. He thought he had many goods stored up for many years. He didn't realize that he only had a few moments left. He says, I've got all these things. I'll just store these up and I'll eat, drink, and be merry. And God says, no, you fool. This night, your soul will be required of you. And then what's going to happen to all these things that you have gained? It's an old story of three apprentice devils who were sent from hell to earth to serve their time. Before they left, they told Satan what they purposed to do to draw mankind away from God. One said, I will tell men that there is no God. But Satan said, that will not do because in their heart of hearts, they know there is a God. The second devil said, well, I will tell men there is no hell. And Satan said, that is still more hopeless, for by living in their fallen world, they have experienced the remorse of hell. Then the third devil said, I will tell men there is no hurry. Go, said Satan, tell them that and you will ruin them by the millions. And apparently this rich farmer, this rich fool was one of this demon's first stops because he was in no hurry to deal with things of eternal significance. You know, Satan gives us that same lie over and over and over again. He's always telling us, there's no need to hurry. You have plenty of time. We come to church, we're convicted by a message. We know we need to give our heart to Christ, but we think, I've still got time left. I'll wait till a more convenient time. I'll wait till I'm a little bit older, and then I'll give my life to Christ. Sadly, that time never comes for many. There are others, God, I know that I should serve you. They've accepted Christ as their Savior. I know I should serve you. I know that you want me to do this, but, you know, Lord, I've got plenty of time. I'll get around to that. I'll do it someday, but someday never comes. Don't let Satan tell you that you have time. The Bible says that today is the day. Today is the day of salvation. Today is the day of repentance. Today is the day to begin to serve God with all of your heart. There's a story of a sailor who was shipwrecked in one of the South Sea Islands. When the natives found him, they lifted him to their shoulders and marched triumphantly into the village. The sailor feared that he was to be the main dish for dinner that night. But to his astonishment, they put him on a throne, put a crown on his head, and proclaimed him as their king. He was their absolute ruler. Every native was now his servant. He greatly enjoyed his new station in life, but after a while, he began to wonder about it all. He thought this must be too good to be true, so he discreetly asked some questions, and he found out that it was their custom once a year to make some man a king for a year. He also learned that at the end of that year, the king was banished to an island where he would starve to death. Of course, the sailor didn't like that too much. And being a resourceful man, he put his mind to work and he came upon a marvelous solution. Since he was king, his orders were obeyed. So he put the natives to work building boats. When they had enough boats, he started transplanting fruit trees to the island where he was to be banished to. He had the carpenters go and build comfortable and beautiful houses for him. He set the farmers to clear the land and plant crops. So this kingship would have a place to go, a place of abundance to go when he was banished. And you know, I really view this life in the same way. Think about it. We are here for a time. But however long we are here, it is brief in comparison to eternity. No longer how long you live, it is brief in comparison to eternity. And in this brief time, we have to prepare ourselves for eternity. That's why Jesus taught. This is why he put this story here, so that we would remember the important things in life. We must not store up for ourselves treasures on earth, but we must send ahead of time treasures in heaven. And then the last thing this farmer foolishly forgot was that he was making his plans without God. He was making his plans without God. He didn't utter one word to God in considering what he was going to do with his bounty. Remember, he said, "My fruits, my barns." He didn't realize that wealth and honor come from God. We need to remember that today. Oh God, you are the ruler of all things. Every blessing that I have is because you have brought it into my life. Anything good that has ever happened to me is because of you, O Lord. This farmer's thought was not to praise God for his blessings. No, he asked, "How can I keep these things for myself?" He was a man who had a lot of dollars, but no sense. No sense. And any man is a fool who would leave God out of his life and make plans without him. The man who makes plans with his possessions and leaves God out has forgotten the most important factor of all. Because there is going to come a time in everyone's life when they need God. One of the ways that we remember God, we remember his blessing, is by giving back to him. And when we tithe and when we give offerings, we're saying, "God, you have blessed me with all these things. I would have nothing if it wasn't for you." To remind me of that, here's an offering. Further your kingdom. Came across a poem this week. It goes like this: "Go give to the needy sweet charity's bread. Forgiving is living, the angel said. And must I be giving again and again?" My peevish, petulant answer ran. "Oh no," said the angel, piercing me through. "Just give till the master stops giving to you." God will never stop giving to you. God can be characterized by the word give. For God so loved the world, he gave. God is the source of every blessing we have. It's foolish not to acknowledge him as we give back a portion of our income. I saw a bumper sticker. How many of you ever seen the bumper sticker, "Honk if you love Jesus"? Ever seen that? There's one that's probably a little less popular. It says, "Tithe if you love Jesus." Any fool can honk. So in this little story, Jesus said that memory is a very important tool to have. When it comes to our possessions, when it comes to material things, this parable reminds us that we are not to allow greed to make us absent-minded. We must remember the things in life that are important. We must remember to meet the needs of others. We must remember that the real joy in life comes from giving. We must remember that this life is just a temporal situation. That time in eternity is more important than time here. And we must remember that we need to include God in all of our plans and all of our decisions. So what are we going to remember? We're going to remember our Savior. We are going to remember our Creator. We are going to remember God through His tender commandments. And we are going to remember others. We're going to remember to send treasures to heaven. And remember those things that are truly, truly important. Could I have your heads bowed and your eyes closed? Time spent preparing for eternity is certainly time well spent. And I wonder if there is anybody here that has not yet come to a place in their lives where they've invited Jesus Christ to come into their life and take away their sins. You've not invited Him to come into your life and be your Savior. That's where this all begins. This is where it all starts. What shall it profit a man if he were to gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Jesus came to save your soul. He came to purchase your salvation, to pay your debt of sin, and secure your place in heaven for all eternity. But you need to accept Him as the one who did all of that for you. You need to say, like the prodigal son, "Father, I have sinned." And as you say that, God is already there, waiting with open arms to welcome you into His embrace, to welcome you into His family. Don't leave God out. Don't leave God out. But begin at this very important place. So is there anybody here by a raised hand you would say, "Pastor, would you pray for me? I've not done that. Maybe I don't really even understand, but I would like to understand more. I want to receive Jesus as my Savior. I want my sins taken away. I want to be assured a place in heaven." Is there anybody here who could just raise your hand up and then down? Just put it up and then down. I'd like to pray for you this morning. Christians, today, is there some area of your life that God is challenging you in? Is there some area of your Christian life where you have forgotten to do something, you've forgotten something important? You remembered some of these things that aren't so important, but you've forgotten, you've been reminded about that which is truly important. And you want to live with God in the center of your thoughts, the center of your plans. Is there anybody here, just by a raised hand? A raised hand would be kind of a confession today. "Lord, I've forgotten some important things. I'm reminded of them today." Amen. Others? Amen. Amen. Put them down. Praise God. Amen. Thank you for your honesty. We all forget. We all forget. I forget. Why it is we tend to forget the things we need to remember, remember the things we should forget, I don't completely know. I guess it's part of our humanity. But let's just pray together that God would keep reminding us as we go through life of that which is really important. Father, we are so grateful today that we are in Your presence. Thank You, Lord, for stories in the Bible such as this that we can learn from other people's mistakes so that we don't have to make the same ones. We thank You for the reminders that You place in Your Word for us. And we ask, Lord, as we go through life, that You would use Your Word, that You would use others, that You would use circumstances, that You would just use things to remind us of that which is truly important. That, Lord, we could live in the light of eternity. Lord, help us to be able to deny ourselves, to take up our cross and to follow You, the area of discipleship. But we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.